Welcome to this Advent season. For those of you in denial, yes, it is day 3 in the month of December. It really is. The 40, 50, 60 degree weather is kind of throwing us off a little bit, but as always, wait for it. Pastor Brandon began the season of Advent last week and told us Advent means the coming. Advent is remembering Jesus came and Jesus will come again. The season of Advent reminds us of that time between Thanksgiving and Christmas is not about consumption, but compassion and living into our roles as providers of hope for the hopeless. We're entering into a story of Jesus' birth through some of our favorite Christmas movies. And today, I want to share with you the story of how the Grinch stole Christmas, adapted from Dr. Seuss's book of the same name. It's the story of how holding on to anger and bitterness can drive a wedge, or drove a wedge between the Grinch and pretty much everybody. And it's how bitterness, he devised a plan that to steal Christmas so that everybody else would be just as miserable as he was. Let's take a look at how the Grinch's story began. Watch this.
I want you all to look your best tomorrow.
You don't have a chance with her. You're 8 years old and you have a beard.
Has everyone given their gifts?
I haven't. Merry Christmas, Martha May.
Why do you have a bag on your head?
Probably because he's embarrassed by that idiot or his gift.
Mr. Grinch, please take the bag off. Yes, you take it off. Put the book down. And your foot.
Look at that hat job!
The fury.
The muscles.
It was a horrible day when they were so cruel to him. And I could hardly bear it.
The Grinch had a situation happen to him, and he let what happened to him determine the kind of life that he would have. He let anger and bitterness grow, and he gave no room for peace. I know of many people who have lived their life pretty much the same way. Situations in their past, life experiences, they hold on to grudges, and they're just so angry at everyone all the time. Instead of following the examples of Jesus or letting things go or looking for peace or letting any spark of light grow in their lives. Paul tells us in Ephesians, be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil an opportunity. In times of anger, people sometimes say what's on their mind. And they justify by saying, I'm only speaking the truth. Or they say, somebody needed to say it. I was going to do the hip thing, but I thought I'd throw my back out. You know, we justify it. Paul wrote in Ephesians, he said, it's okay to be angry, but do not sin. Is it possible? Is it possible to get angry and not sin? Anger defined as hostile feelings because of opposition. Hostility means of or characteristics of an enemy, unfriendly, or feelings of enmity or ill will. If we combine these two definitions, we would read it as something like this. Anger is hostile feelings because of oppositions. A feeling that is characterizes of an enemy or who desires ill will towards another. When you read this, it kind of makes you wonder, how can you truly be angry and not sin? The very nature of anger is brings you to that point of taking on the characteristics of the enemy with the desires to do ill will or not to do good will, at least towards the person you're angry at. This is where it can be easy to enter into that sin, and must be why Paul felt it necessary or important to remind us that if we become angry, we must not sin or give over control of our emotions. And we have example after example in the Bible of people who became angry and maybe justifiably and then sinned. Paul also says that we must not let the sun go down on our anger so that we do not give an opportunity to the devil. And the point isn't that we never go to bed upset, because in some situations that's just impossible. But I think the point is that we stay angry, the worse it gets and the angrier we get. Paul says to make sure that we deal with the situation that we have so that it does not lead us to sin. He paints a picture that if we don't deal with it, the devil is waiting for that opportunity, and he will use that, what is happening, he will use that against us and take us to a place that we don't want to be. In Genesis 4, it says, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why do you look so resentful? This is the story of the first murder ever described in the Bible. Cain and his brother Abel brought sacrifices to God. God accepted Abel's but rejected Cain's. Cain became angry and focused all his anger on Abel. Abel had done nothing to Cain, but to Cain, he represented the reason God rejected his sacrifice. Cain's anger just kept building and building until he acted out on it and killed his brother. Remember the definition of anger: having hostile feelings, having the desire for ill will towards another. The Bible doesn't tell us how long or how many days he was angry, only that he got to the point that he released his anger and killed his brother. For this week, see why Paul said, be angry, but do not sin. Do not let Do not give the devil an opportunity. In Numbers 20, it says, the Lord said to Moses, because you did not trust me or show my holiness before the Israelites, you will not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. Here Moses was fed up with the children of Israel. He was tired of their complaining and their whining, and this led him to sin against God. When the people cried out for water, Moses went to God, and God told Moses to take his rod in his hand and speak to the rock, and it would bring forth water. But Moses, in his anger, he hit the rock twice instead of just speaking to it. For this, he was not allowed to enter into the promised land. Anger built up in him over time because of the rebellion of the people, and he used that and he rebelled against God. Moses had just grown tired of all the whining and the complaining of the people. And even though it was probably justified, he still sinned against God. Anger is okay. But when we let the emotional part take over, and if we can't get to some kind of satisfaction in that, we let the anger and the resentment build and it turns into something that we didn't want it to, and we let it go, and we get to a point of resentment, and we cross the lines. We cross lines that we never thought we would in our lives. The Hatfields and McCoys is probably one of the most famous feuds of all times. Though they didn't like each other for many years before the feud officially started in 1865, that's when the hard-fought violence began, and it lasted until 1888. But the feud, the disagreements lasted well after that, until 2003, when two cousins from the Hatfields began an official end to the feud with one of the cousins of the leaders of the McCoy, a direct descendant from the leaders of the McCoy. They sat down in 2003 and decided they needed to come to an official resolution. They signed a treaty. But they still disagree on who actually started the feud. 152 years later, they still can't agree. But 152 years later, they still don't know. There's no way to determine how the feud actually started. Some people have been angry for so many years, it's really the only way they know how to live their lives. We only have to watch the news for 30 seconds or open up a web browser to see the news, local, nationally, or world news, to see the world is lacking in the knowledge of peace. We've all seen a lot of horrible things happen over the last several years. And when you consider the strife and the unrest in the world, it really seems like peace is nothing more than a far-off fantasy. Yet God has given us this idea of peace. God has given us peace, and he's mapped it out for us through a child lying in a manger, a baby who would grow up and proclaim to us, blessed are the peacemakers. Those of you who know me well might think it's a little odd that I am speaking to you on peace, that I am the one who is preaching this sermon. Those of you who know my past, especially being a military veteran, I suppose it may seem a little strange that I am proclaiming to you that peace doesn't come to you through the violent suppression of violence. That is how the only way we seem to seek peace in our world today. Don't get me wrong, there is times when violence can only be stopped by equal or greater violence. But violence does not bring peace. It is only through and because of God and the gift at Christmas that true and lasting peace can ever be found. When John the Baptist was born, just a few months before Jesus, his father, Zechariah, unable to speak for the first 9 months, broke into a prophecy about his son. Zechariah says that John will be a prophet to the Most High God, preparing a way for him, telling the people how God, in his immense compassion, will save the people from their sins. Zechariah shares his vision in Luke 1. Because of our God's deep compassion, the dawn of heaven will break upon us to give the light to those who are sitting in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide us on the path of peace. God is bringing light to those who are sitting in the shadow of darkness and guide people to the path of peace. Peace is not something that just simply exists because of Christ being born. Peace is something that we have to work for. If we expect peace to be a reality, we have to follow the path that Jesus has laid out for us. Lucy Liu, who? I've practiced that one, trust me. Tries to give the people of Whoville to think of themselves, not to just think of themselves, but to open up their hearts to accept the Grinch. She really tried with all that this little girl could to get them to accept the Grinch and to get the Grinch to forgive. But things just didn't go the way she had planned. And then this happened. Watch this.
All those Whos down in Whoville will all cry.
I've been robbed.
Who could have done this? Tell you people one thing. Invite the Grinch. Destroy Christmas.
Invite the Grinch! Destroy Christmas!
But did anyone listen to me?
I did.
No.
You choose to listen to a little not to be taken seriously girl
who hasn't even grown into her nose yet. Cindy, I hope you're very proud of what you've done.
If she isn't, I am. I'm glad he took our presents.
I'm glad.
He's glad. You're glad. You're glad everything is gone.
You're glad that the Grinch virtually wrecked, pulverized Christmas. Is that what I'm hearing from you, Lou?
You can't hurt Christmas, Mr. Mayor.
because it isn't about the gifts or the contests or the fancy lights.
That's what Cindy's been trying to tell everyone.
And me. He's been trying to tell me.
What is wrong with you? This is a child.
She's my child.
And she happens to be right, by the way.
When we are seeking the way of peace as Christ showed us, he's taught us, and when we seek to share peace with others, we often find peace for ourselves. We will find our fears, our troubles wiped away as we are drawn into God's love and peaceful presence. It's that peace that surpasses all understanding. And Christ came so that we can experience this peace in our lives. Christ desires for us to have peace. God sent an angel to inform the shepherds, glory to God in heaven and peace on earth among those whom he favors. Jesus said, I have seen these things. I have said these things to you so that you will have peace in me. In the world you have distress, but be encouraged. I have conquered the world. Get rid of anger and bitterness. Whether you're angry with someone Get rid of anger and bitterness. Whether you are angry with someone or they are angry with you, you have to just rid yourself of anger. Here are some quick steps to do that. First, you have to forgive. You have to make that decision yourself to forgive is the first step. Number two is deal with it. I don't mean just deal with it. I mean you need to deal with it. You can't just hide it. You can't pretend it's not there. Third, you need to accept responsibility. This is a hard one. To accept responsibility is to admit that you may have some part in this disagreement. Accept responsibility. Then don't justify your anger. You may be right to be angry. You may have been wronged. The other person may deserve what you're giving them. But what you're saying and doing does not bring any glory to God. If you complete the first two steps and you're right in your heart, it's hard to do this one. And then finally, you need to let go. You need to let things go. Please, nobody break into song. I don't need to hear any let it go. These are simple steps when you read them, but they can be difficult to put into action. But you need to make the choice. So I want to leave you with this. I want to leave you with this thought. Is there somebody you need to take to coffee? Is there somebody you need to take these steps and let go of bitterness? Take steps to follow Jesus, the Prince of Peace, to remove bitterness and anger in your life. Let's pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you that you have set this path before us that we can seek peace. Peace in our life, Lord. Lord, that we can follow these examples that you have before us to let go of bitterness in our life. Lord, that forgiveness is not just for the person we are forgiving, Lord, but it is a release of that hostility in our heart, Lord, that we may draw closer to you. Give us the strength, Lord, and the compassion to follow this in your name. In your name we pray. Amen.